Testimony concerning the school at Lodi, California. Lodi, California, 1910. Last night and the night before, I was speaking a message to the people in this place that you have gathered a large number to this place to carry out plans for a large school, but you have not the capabilities to work out your plans, either in the faculty or in other lines. A mistake has been made in calculating the means for this end. I fear the result will be a failure. You have not capabilities in the educational lines that will fit the requirements to manage such a force of undisciplined elements. Not one who is connected with this work you have planned to do has had experience to assume such responsibilities as you have undertaken. Such large numbers of children of an age that needs the family discipline of fathers and mothers should never be encouraged to be turned away from the discipline of the home, to be disciplined and trained by those who are not themselves adapted for the work. This is the greatest mistake that can be made, and this school should never be brought together as a wild set of young children away from home life, for it will be to their lifelong injury. Schools should be established where young, undisciplined minds shall be constantly guarded, else they will run wild in their association, and it will be next to impossible to bring them to the proper training. The Holy Spirit's power alone can make it possible to have so great a number of the same age brought into school. It is a mistake to get so many of the younger children and youth under school discipline. These children need the sacred guardianship of fathers and mothers, and I am instructed that your plan will prove a failure in this line. I feel and know that with this class, religious training will be next to an impossibility. I entreat you all, teachers and preceptors, to look the facts of this matter fairly in the face. Time is short, and you cannot successfully carry on such a school as you have proposed. A mess of young women and boys together, the hopelessness of saying or doing anything to profit such a class brought together, associating together. It is a great mistake. Your plans are not of a character to prepare young people in their childhood years to become serious and to seek the Lord. These children need the home discipline of godly parents. None can exercise over them the restraining influence that their parents can, and many of these parents need the true work of grace in their own daily life. I am to bear a message to the parents. There is a need of the sanctifying grace of God in their Christian experience, that they may themselves see the necessity of being converted and laboring for the conversion of their children. I tell you in the name of the Lord that unless the hearts are purified by the grace of God, they cannot be admitted to the heavenly courts. I shall not tell you anything that will prove an injury to you. The Lord has made no such arrangements, and He never will, to allow parents to shift upon anyone else their responsibilities in guiding their children of tender age in the way of the Lord. And I must tell you, unless the converting power of God shall come to the hearts of those who have made the arrangement for such a school, they will not carry the work in a way that is after God's appointment. We are now in the last stage of this earth's history, and the Lord calls for your hearts to be converted. God calls for preceptors and educators in any line to prepare themselves and families to meet their Lord. The converting power of God must come to all teachers and educators who are preparing for the Lord's coming. Every church in our land needs the deep work of grace. Let no one delay. The spiritual element is essential in every school. The true interest of one class must be the true interest of all who are saved in the kingdom of God. It is no longer antagonism. It is cooperation. A work is to be done that brings Seventh-day Adventists into sanctified brotherhood and sacred harmony. There must be a seeking of the Lord in every church. Surface work will never answer for the converting grace of Christ. I am to bear a message. I had about decided to leave upon the morrow and go to several places, for I could not remain here and pass sleepless nights, and yet not tell the people their true spiritual condition. I told my son, W.C. White, that I thought I could not stay, for unless the Spirit of God, with its convicting, converting power, should come into this section of the country, blindness will have come to Israel.
A large class had been sent from their parents to make numbers in the reckoning of a large school at Lodi. It is a great mistake, and my soul could not give you one word of commendation. For many of these children need the home discipline to educate them in sharing the home responsibilities. Boys and girls can be trained to do the home duties and to understand the sharing of the home burdens with their mother in the house and with the father out of the house. Housework can be made pleasant by the mother's pleasant approval. From the very beginning of the home training, which is true education, not a word of scolding should be heard, but the calm, pleasant voices of the mother and father, encouraging indoors and out of doors. This is true religion in practice, to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Express your appreciation, fathers, to your boys and girls who may be a true help to the work indoors and out of doors. This responsibility cannot be shifted upon any other person. The Lord is soon to come, and the truly converted father will express his love for his children and teach them. As they work in the vineyard, he may repeat the scripture, "I am the true vine, and my father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through obedience to the word I have spoken unto you." John 15, verse 1 to 3. Through the instruction essential for them to understand, they may save the souls of their children. Undisciplined children would prove a detriment to the school. It is not the largest number of students, but the spiritual atmosphere that will prove the success of the school. I tell you in the name of the Lord that the experience I have passed through in the sleepless hours of the nights has made me determined to leave in a day or two. But I am to give you this message. All teachers need to reform in the preaching of the word and in their work, and to be sure they receive their words from God. Their manner of address may need to be improved. Yet if these teachers learn of Christ, he breathes upon them and speaks words through them, not in self-praise, but words of inspiration. The power is not from man, but from God. The Lord God would have things set in order after the divine similitude. The source of all righteousness should receive the glory, and faithful work is to be done, because the educator is to learn of the great teacher. All the works of God are in righteousness and in truth. The Lord has not been moving the teachers or ministers to become lifted up in their plans, which have had a tendency to eclipse the Savior who gave his life for them. The Son of God is often eclipsed by man's plans and man's devising. Thus it has been in the name cases on record. Jesus is bearing his message of light in reproof, in warnings, and the ministers of Christ and the educators who have learned of Christ and who are imbued with his Spirit will in prayer and in love of the Master so labor in love and in all meekness that the character of God shall be magnified. Jesus Christ so loved man that he gave his life to redeem him. The truth, sacred, eternal truth, will and must be revealed in all his messengers. No sooner is a man converted than his heart is humble. He has learned the meekness and the lowliness of Christ Jesus. He is sanctified through the belief of the truth. Yes, he is cleansed from all self-exaltation. The Spirit of Christ, illuminating the soul, is so represented in words and in spirit that uncertainty is taken away. The truth is compared to light, which dispels all darkness, transforming the man.
I am to say to all who would come into unity with the Holy Spirit, there is a message to go forth to the many souls in darkness. Let those who have lost their bearings for their soul's sake come into harmony with one who was meek and lowly of heart. All who have had the light of the truth and have lost their bearings, thinking to do wonderful things, are called upon now to be converted. There is a work to be done for all those who would labor in all humility of mind. Pray and believe. Faithful study of Scripture and most earnest prayer will go hand in hand. There are warnings to be given to unbelievers, and sinners will be saved through repentance and faith. We can reach the people by humility and meekness. A minister of the gospel should not do all the work himself, but he should, by his example, teach the church how to work for others. You need a working church in Lodi and all through the region round about. Zeal and humility and faith combined will be wonderful things.
Now I have this message written out before I can sleep. The world is to be warned. A spirit of frivolity and of boasting quenches the Holy Spirit. There is a work to be done all through Lodi that has not been done. Self-retained will so blind man's perception that he will not see the need of conversion. Said Christ, "Without me ye can do nothing." Verse 5. The endowment of the Holy Spirit is what you need. Pray for this. Believe for this. Let every minister come to Christ and bring his wife and children to Christ. In all our churches, if you humble yourselves, the Lord will work with you. Let all our ministers consider that the gospel field where work is to be done is the world. Give the message to the souls who need it. You will do this if you continue to desire the work of the Holy Spirit. Many have most sacred, responsible work to do in their own family. Humble yourselves before God. Come, all ministers and teachers in Lodi, where you can be taught of God. I cannot now relate all particulars, but seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is nigh. This is an individual work. Make thorough work now. Humble yourselves before God and educate your children. Unless you have Christianity in the heart and in the home life, there will be an account to render to God. I'm charged to say that unless there is a deeper experience in the work that is now undertaken, there will be hindering causes which will create divisions. There must be a work of deeper conversion in the leading men. There will be disappointment that will result in unfavorable representations. I'm now to say, there are children who should have the home training and not be sent to a school of this order. Oh, what does it mean that mothers will let the responsibilities of training their children rest upon other persons? How can they do this? It is a marvel to me. It is not God's plan. Mothers, a sacred responsibility rests upon you to keep your children in your home. You are to be intensely interested in your children, that they shall be sanctified through a knowledge of the truth. Pray with your children. Some mothers need to sanctify their tongues. If you are truly converted, you can be a great blessing to your inexperienced children. Let your speech be kindly, and ever educate your children to respect and profit by the searching of the word. Make this a pleasant season to your children. Pray with your children daily. Mothers, how dare you send your children away where you cannot have them under your guardianship? Let your speech, mothers, be sanctified by the grace of God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Philippians 4, verse 8. We have a most solemn work before us. Our probationary time is too brief to be spent in useless talk. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12, verse 37. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 15, verse 10. Here are the lessons of true simplicity that every parent can understand and religiously give to his children to be understood. I present these words to you that you will not consider you must speak in higher language to educate youth than Christ, who gave his life to redeem the world, gave to his disciples. The matter with our educational faculty is they are getting ideas that they will do some great and wonderful work in educating students that will be to them a wonderful advancement, and they do not themselves see the value of simplicity, of true godliness. They place their lessons before those who are not prepared to receive them, and as the students must climb the ladder of true knowledge step by step, from the lower round in the Christian life, climbing round after round of the ladder intelligently, their higher education is of little account. To climb every round of the ladder of the simplicity of true godliness is the way they can themselves, as teachers, properly educate the students to learn the great problem of, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Mark 10, verse 17. The teachers in the school need to place the feet upon the first round of the ladder. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. John 15, verse 8, 9. Here is where the failure comes in. Men who are teachers have not learned the simplicity of the teachings of Christ. They swell too much in their high estimate of their advantages. They need to commence the climbing of the ladder of knowledge from the lowest round, as in Christ's education of his disciples.
If ye keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Verses 10 to 18. This whole chapter is a sermon of the highest order that will be the very highest education mortals can ever have. Read this chapter, ministers and teachers in our schools, and prepare to be transferred to the higher grade, which is the heavenly city. In the testimonies given me, the Lord Jesus is to come to you, teachers, when you will come down from the highest round of the ladder and begin the learning of the very lessons that Christ has invited you to learn. Every teacher is to begin to climb from the lowest round of the ladder in education, and then he begins by his own example to give lessons that will help his students to become intelligent. One thing I express firmly and decidedly, that this arrangement of getting a mass of young girls and boys away from their homes to cluster together and associate in the company of each other is one great mistake that will bring sorrow. The teachers are not prepared to handle these children and to understand what kind of lessons they are learning from one another that are not profitable. I am charged to warn the parents to withdraw these young children. Let fathers and mothers realize that it is their own work to plan and order the education in many lines in the requirements of the home life, which a school cannot do. Fathers and mothers, you yourselves are responsible for the education your children must receive in order to have them properly trained to understand their accountability to God. Let those who have formed plans plan for such a school as will qualify every scholar of that school to become acquainted with truth. Those who seek for truth as for hidden treasure will have truth if they will seek the Lord with all their hearts. This is that which every worker should do to perfect Christian character.